desire your prayers tonight. I have a burden. I've had this burden for about between 1 and 2 months. It all started one morning when Molly and I was in the living room together. And she read me something off her phone. I can't tell you what it was, but is this on? I don't know what happened to the other unit, but you got rid of it or put it away or something. That thing gave me more trouble than any piece I've worked with. And I was the one telling them they needed one. But she was reading. I listened to what she said. And then she made a comment, and I made a comment. And that's where this message come from. I didn't have any idea at the time that it would, but they look like they're new deals, but they're not working. I've been encouraging Guthrie to buy some new these little Expos. Either that or maybe I need to slow my writing down. Now, if it gets too loud, you're going to tell me to put it back down? All right. Molly Ann read what she read. I listened to what she said. And I thought about it a minute, and I said, baby, sin is extremely costly. Extremely. And I got to working with it from there. Like I said, I didn't have any idea at the time the Lord would begin to work with it for a message. But let's go to Luke, the 14th chapter. We desire your prayers. This basically will dovetail the other direction from Brother Curtis Ray's message on Sunday morning. And I will tell you what's going to happen if you don't do what he said to do. And I felt like it was a timely message, and I agreed with everything he said. But the bottom line is, folks, if we turn down the Word of God, and if we turn down what he's telling us to do, we're going to have some problems, and it's going to be extremely costly for us. All right, 14th chapter here in about the 26th verse said, 26th, let's go 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned, and he said to them, if any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, and wife, and children, brethren, sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower, setteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build, and was not able to finish it. Or what king going to make war against another king setteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Cost. Everything we have to do with is concerning cost. When you get up in the morning, You put your clothes on, you had to pay for them. You go to the kitchen to eat, you had to pay for it. There are very little things, and we all probably in here has been given something down through our life. I have. I've had something given to me since I was here at the meeting that we needed. And I appreciated it. It helped a lot. But the bottom line is 99% of everything you and I have anything to do with comes with cost. It can be a dollar, a few cents maybe, a dollar, five, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, or it can be hundreds or thousands. I bought my home. I didn't get it free. It cost me thousands and thousands of dollars to buy that home. I still don't have it all paid for. I probably will die and it will not be paid for. But the bottom line is that things we have to do with is costing us money every day. Your air conditioning, your heating, your water bill, your gas bill, all of that costs money. And there's nothing we can do about it. Restaurants and fast food places are hurting right now because the cost of food in them has gotten so high that there's people can't really afford to go out and just have a leisure supper anymore. They're staying away, and it's costing them thousands of dollars because of this. Molly and Paige and I can stop just to get a McDonald's burger and cost us over $30. So things are costly. Things are costly. You go through the day. And even if you're retired like I am, the bottom line is things you do is going to cost you money. One right after another. You go to buy a car. You go to buy a boat, a truck. You go to buy a van, pickup. You get a gator. You get a four-wheeler. You get a lawnmower, rider, push. All of that costs money. And that's just part of it. It all costs money. Now, I want to get that down in your mind, cost. Cost tonight is very, very part of, very much part of our life. And tonight he said, man, he's going to do some building here. And he said, if he sits down, does he not, which intending to build a tower, setteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it. Left aptly, after he laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold him begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish it. So if you're wise, you're going to check things out. If I buy a car, I don't do it, just go out and spend money. I don't drop $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $25,000, $35,000. I check around. I've been connected with two things in my life that's helped me get cars at a better rate than some. But the bottom line is, it's still costly to me. It's still costly to you. And so consequently, it's wise to check what you're going to do, what you're going to spend, whether you've got enough money to purchase this, pay it by month or pay it by cash, whatever. It is very wise for you to check everything out. Oh, tonight, it's very wise to check out the cost of sin tonight. Some people say, oh, Brother Carl, you know what you're talking about. Well, I was not in deep in sin, but I've watched things through my life. I've seen the disasters. I've seen the problems. I've seen the trouble that has happened down through the life because people, they didn't look it over. They didn't suffer and look and study. They just went headlong into sin and done the things they were doing. And all of a sudden, they found themselves in a very bad position. Listen, folks, there's thousands upon thousands of people tonight that is in the United States and around the world that's suffering because of the cost of sin. Cost of sin is exaggerating. Listen, you say, well, I spent $50,000 on a car. That's nothing to what sin will cost you. Sin will cost you eternity. Sin will cost you being with Jesus. Sin will cost you the deep things of the glory of God. And I'm going to tell you tonight, you and I have got to come to the place where we're willing to turn, where we're willing to run, where we're willing to do what Brother Curtis Ray said. It's time to check it. It's time to dig in the Bible. It's time to look it over and say, hey, I want to see what this says. There's peace and there's joy. There's power and there's glory. But if you and I pass that up, the cost of sin is extremely costly tonight. You don't want to go there. Look around. One thing to do is look at the people that has gone deep in sin that you know. What has happened to them? What is their life like? Look at the, well, let's go to where it all started. Let's go to Genesis, the third chapter. Genesis, the third chapter. Now, 3:1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the servant said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God knoweth how. God knoweth that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And then they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and he said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. He said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree? Where have I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, I love the way he passes the buck right here. And a man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. They both are ducking and dodging. But the bottom line was they had it made. If Eve had never done what she'd done, and Adam what he done, listen, folks, they had the grandest, most perfect setup of anybody. They had the presence of God. Listen tonight, we need the presence of God. We need him every day. Whether you be a preacher or who you be, you need God working in your life. And these people right here, they had it. They had the glory. They had the perfect place to be. I would love to have been in that garden. But the bottom line was, she messed up. He messed up. She done what the Lord told her not to do. He done what the Lord told him not to do. And so consequently, when they done that, they got themselves into deep trouble. Very simple. The devil come on the scene and he started deceiving. He didn't preach them a long message. He said, you won't die. Listen, the Lord will tell you that if you do some of these things that are sin that we're going to deal with tonight, the devil come along and said, that won't hurt you. Well, you can smoke all the cigarettes you want and you'll be fine. You can drink the beer, you'll be fine. Listen, folks, the devil's a liar and he's been a liar for years and years. He's the father of lies tonight, and he will destroy you and cost you lots of money because of sin. So Eve done what she did. And they got moved out of the most perfect place you could ever be. Tonight, the Lord's got some perfect places for you and I. In the life with God, being saved and sanctified, being blessed. The Lord has places for us that we don't even know about yet. And he wants to take us to some high heights. But you and I have got to turn our back on that right there. We've got to run for our lives. We've got to get saved and stay saved. We've got to keep the power and the glory that God gives us when he brings us up and out and sets our feet on a solid rock. We've got to stay there, folks, or we're going to get ourselves into some real trouble. Oh, tonight, there's a lot of people that started down the wrong road. And when they did,
they knew what they were doing, in a sense. And usually, a person comes to a way, the right way to go to heaven, and the other way that goes down. And the devil begins to work in the young lives. Teenagers, I want to beg you, don't do your first sin. I want to beg you, run for your life. If the devil's tempting you to do something, tell him flat out, no, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to do that. That's not for me. I've done it down through the years. Get out of here, devil. Go on down the road. I don't want to have nothing to do with you. He's mean, he's cruel, and he's after your soul, he's after mine. He wants to get everybody in this building that he can, and he'll do it if you listen and you get involved in the debt cost of sin. Oh, tonight, there have been many a people that somebody said, well, you can smoke this cigarette, it'd be all right. It's not going to hurt you. I've never had a cigarette to my lips in my life. Never even been tempted with one. And I'm thankful for that tonight. I know people that had to be delivered from cigarettes, and it wasn't easy. And I know it can be done. I know the power of God can do it. But the bottom line, I had it easier, folks, because I had never touched one. Tonight, how many people die from cigarettes smoking people each year? Take a guess. Well, what I can figure out here, and I may not be totally absolute because some of these figures kind of bounce around in what I studied on, but there are 480,000 people a year die from cigarettes. They just take one, and then two, and then they get hooked on it, and they start pocketing. All right, let me ask you a question. How much does one pack of cigarettes cost you today? Who can tell me? Well, I was in a Choctaw tribe, place where you get gas and they have food, and I went in there, and over here on the side was a place that they sell cigarettes. So Carl Schaefer had this message on his mind, so Carl checked it out, and they had prices up there, and I got to looking. One of the lowest cost prices in there was almost $10 a pack. Right, you multiply that by 10, that's $100 for a carton of them. Listen, folks, when I was in business back in the 70s, listen, you know how cigarettes were then? They were somewhere around 35, 40 cents a pack. See, the time has gone. And you say, well, it's not too bad. Listen, folks, all the money people waste in buying cigarettes and alcohol and drugs, listen, folks, you could buy a new car off of that kind of stuff. People say, well, I'm only going to just a few. My partner and I had a great relationship, but he decided that he wanted to sell cigarettes out of our station. I said, I don't want to, Dan. I'm sorry. No, I don't believe in smoking. I don't have nothing to do. I preach to that kind of stuff, and I don't want to do it. Well, he had the senior press. He had the senior power over me, and he put a machine in anyway. Lord took care of that machine because I asked him to. They broke in one night. They took it out and took it all the way back to the station and about demolished the deal getting into it and getting the money out. I don't know how many cigarettes they got out of it, but they wanted the money too. Listen, folks, tonight, cigarette smoking is costly. It's costly financially. There is people that could do a lot more in their life with money, if they had the money only off of the cigarettes that they're smoking, one pack, two pack, three packs a day, a carton here and a carton there, you go dropping $100 bill right here and right here and right there, that's quite a bit of money every week you're dropping on cigarettes. Oh, Brother Carl, no, I'm serious tonight, folks. I've had this burden, and the bottom line is I'm a tightwad anyway, so to speak. If you don't believe me, ask the two wives I'd married to. They found out that I could be very frugal. I don't believe in wasting money. I don't believe in burning it up in cigarettes. You're doing nothing but burning things up, burning your dollar bills, burning it in cigarettes is what you're doing. Watch out now, preacher. Well, I'm going to preach it the way the Lord gives it to me. It's what I've done for 40-something years. But tonight, cigarettes, just the money of them, is extremely costly. What about alcoholism? There's about Alcohol cost a lot of money just to buy it. I was cleaning a home, cleaned it for several years. This was a fine lawyer, and his wife owned a real estate business with a partner. I got close to Clyde and Gigi, and they were very good to me, and I tried to be very good to them. He come home one day, and they were fixing to have a party. And he got up in his cabinet, and he pulled out this bottle. He said, "You see this?" "Yeah." He said, "I have to be very careful with this, very careful, because," said, "if I ain't careful enough, it just tastes too good to me." Listen, folks, tonight, alcohol is extremely expensive. Now, I don't have a cost on alcohol tonight because there's so much different. But I guarantee you don't buy it for 5 cents a bottle. You don't buy it for 50 cents a bottle. Beer will cost you a lot more than that. Again, the cost of this stuff, the actual money that people lie out, is costly. It's taking things away from the children. It's taking things away from you. It's taking things away from the animals that you have in your home. It's taking a lot of things away. You could have better things in the house. You could probably eat steak and taters once in a while instead of hamburgers and hot dogs. You could have some better things, folks, but that kind of stuff will destroy that. Too costly. What about drugs? Drugs tonight. Drugs is ruining this country. And our country has not got any better sense than to provide drugs to some of these people out there in some of these cities, and it's about to blow my mind, so to speak. I can't hardly believe that they would do what they're doing. You can't feed sin and get by with it. You've got to cut it off. You've got to cut it to the core and stop it. Instead, they're enabling these people. I've seen some pictures. I thought, that's pathetic. They were shooting themselves up and doing things. I thought, Lord, have mercy on our country. Drugs are extremely. You know who's making all the money out of it? It's not the people that's taking it. It's the people that's selling it. There's the one that's making the money. But drugs will cost you thousands of dollars and thousands of dollars. What about gambling? I'm very much against gambling. My sister got involved in that and it nearly destroyed her. And we had to step in and help her. And we did. But folks, she lost nearly everything she had, and the bulk of her stuff ended up in my garage. That we recently have gotten rid of about all of it and got it where we can put two cars in the garage instead of one. Because she got involved. A wealthy man took her to Vegas, and he took her out there, and they got to gambling. And she got a taste of it, and she couldn't quit. I said, Kim, in some ways, You can just stay at home and don't go to the casino. Carl, you don't understand. Well, maybe I don't because I've never done it. But I think that she could cut it off like that. But she couldn't do it. And it got worse and worse and worse. One man told a businessman that I know in the town of Shawnee, a lawyer. He said, I want to tell you something. He said, if you knew what gambling was doing to the people of this town, you'd be shocked. Gambling is destroying the lives of a lot of people. Thousands and thousands. There is 2 to 4 million people involved in chronology, however you call it. In other words, they're bound to gambling. 2 to 4 million in the United States. That's a lot of people. I have gone by the one down there, the Potawatomi Nation. I can't think of the name of the deal right now, Fire Lake. And I've gone to pray for people in the Golden Rule Home and so forth and come by there maybe at 1 and 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. You'd be shocked how many cars is in that parking lot. Shocked. I've gone by the one on I-40. There's about, within 20 miles of my house, there's probably 6 casinos. And you know what I do? I just drive right on by and thank the Lord I can do that. I've never stopped and gone in one yet. There's one out there, the Fire Lake Grand on I-40. They say it's got a wonderful steakhouse. I'll go right on to Cattleman, folks. Forget them. I'm not going to touch that stuff because I know what it will do to people. partying. Oh, Brother Carl, you can go out to a party. You can go out and have a good time. Do you know how many people has gotten killed? Do you know how many people, how many young ladies have lost things? Do you know how many people, young men, has lost things? Because people take and give them some things in their drink, and they get them where they don't know what they're doing, and they take and they slip money out of their pocket, or they take their purity from them, or they do something to them that they should never do. And people wake up and they say, something's happened to me. Partying. I graduated in 1971. One good friend of mine, Wally Ludman, he went to the military and I went to college. Wally come back in about 6 months after boot camp, and we sat in a truck out there at the service station where I was working. We were chatting and talking. He said, I'm going to come by and pick you up. We're going to go out on a night on the town. I said, Wally, I said, since you've been gone, I found somebody. His name is Jesus, and I've gotten saved. I've never gone out a night on the town, and I sure don't plan to do it now. Never did that night. He never come back and saw me. I guess he decided this old folky wasn't worth messing with. I'm going to tell you tonight, you don't want to go running around partying and going out on another town. Come to church and shout, praise God. That's what you need to be. Movies. Well, another thing is clubbing. Clubbing. I thought, well, you could probably go to a club and they wouldn't charge you anything, but there's some of these places got some, what do they call it, entrance fees and stuff that you pay, plus the price of the liquor and all of that kind of stuff. Clubbing. Don't go clubbing. Club the devil, but don't go clubbing. Movies. Oh, Brother Carla, wait a minute now, wait a minute. No. Movie. I don't know what it costs to go to a movie. I didn't check into that, but I know it's not cheap. And tonight, these things that are connected in, that is very costly. I'm just talking about finances here now. Somebody said, well, you don't understand. Yeah, I think I do too. I've been around a while, been around the block, seen a few things, been a lot of places. And the bottom line is tonight, these things cost a lot of money that you'd be better off if you kept the money, lived for God, and done the things that He'd have you to do. Amen. Concerts. Years ago, King Elvis was coming to town. He was my king then. Probably about 1969 or 70. I don't remember the deal. I was in high school. And I thought, I'm going to go. The Lord decided I wasn't going to go, and I wasn't even saved then. And I called, and I tried to get the most inexpensive ticket I could get. I'm sorry, but that's not available. I said, all right, let's go up a deal. I said, that's sold out too. Let's go up another tier. That's sold out too. Another tier? That's all sold out, son. You can't buy a ticket to come see Elvis sing. I thanked the Lord many times that I never went to that deal. There's a lady by the name of Taylor Swift. Anybody heard of Taylor Swift? She's one of the biggest rock stars or pop stars in the nation and the world, really. How many can tell me how much it'll cost to buy one ticket to go hear her sing? Too much? You got any idea how much? I was shocked, brother. Over $1,000 for one ticket to go see that woman sing. I'd much rather be here. I don't want to listen to Taylor. I don't want to listen to all these rock stars. I'm not interested in that tonight. I'm going to tell you those things cost you a lot of money. And remember out there in Las Vegas, you remember the guy that got up in the motel and he shot out and killed a number of people and wounded? They were at what? They were at a concert. Listen, concerts is not places to go to enjoy life. You could lose your life. Sin has cost and destroyed many marriages down through the years. There has been many a tear shed on the pillows because the husband's off running around or the wife's off running around. And then they get a divorce. That's costly. I'm going to tell you, sin costs, folks. There have been a lot of people that's lost lots and lots of money. You get these big people, these actors and actresses, you get these singers, and they go through divorces. They don't deal in a few hundred dollars. They deal in millions of dollars. Well, I want $5 million or $10 million. I want this house and that house. Oh, I want that boat. I want that new car over there. And them cars are worth thousands more than anything I own, probably more than my house. Sin is costly. It's destructive. It does damage to lives and marriage and children. It destroys children's lives in a sense for years because mom and daddy are split up and they don't see one another. They don't want to be with one another. It's costly both. The children's what suffers in divorce more than about anybody else. Sin is costly tonight. All right, Eve messed up. Adam messed up. It plunged the whole American race into sin. That thing is still going with us today. And Jesus gave his life. He paid the price that you and I could have something that we couldn't have before. God looked at it and he said, there's going to be a better way one day. And let him know, I'm going to kick you, devil. I'm going to beat you up, so to speak. I'm going to whoop you, and I'm going to bring about something that's going to work. And praise God, it's working and has been for a long time. It delivers. It gives power and authority. It makes you able to enjoy reading the Bible. It makes you enjoy. I have a tape. This tape was made by Brother Ruel Gibson several years ago. I don't know how many of them's available, but it was made about his daddy, Brother DeRice Gibson, his mama, and their lives. And then at the end of that is a message, most of a message that Brother DeRice preached. Now, I never heard him preach in person. I never met the man. Several of the old-timers died just before this man got saved. And I sure wished I would have met them. But I'm going to tell you, we played that tape. Molly and I did, and we listened to it. And all what Ruel was talking about. And then he put that tape on there. I think Harlan, the one that come up with the tape of the message, I think. And Brother Dry started in. And I'm going to tell you, he started laying it down. I said, Molly, this is good old Church of God gospel preaching right here. He ain't sparing a thing. He's hitting it just like it needs to be hit. Listen, folks, stout preaching makes stout saints. You ever heard that statement? I'm going to tell you it works. If you'll listen to the stout preaching that comes a lot this pulpit, in this meeting and other, it will help you to grow and bear down and get to a place where you can shout all the time, praise God. Tonight, we need some stout preaching that'll make stout saints tonight. Well, he was laying it down, and I was, praise God. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. I was rejoicing, and just three of us there. But we was having a field day right there. We was having a church night right there at home. Well, so Eve messed up, Adam messed up, and Jesus fixed it all up. And now then, saints, tonight, you and I, we need to start living closer. We're living in a world that is moving so far to the left that it's not scaring me, but I get appalled by it. I can't hardly believe. Brother Curtis Ray preached a message in the last camp meeting, I believe it was, on the light. Remember that message? That message got down, and I listened, and I refer back to that. She'll tell you, I refer back to it quite a bit because the devil, because of the rejection of Jesus, the darkness that people has got in has gotten worse and worse and worse and worse. People say, well, I'm all right. No, they're not, neither. They don't know their head from a hole in the ground, so to speak. They're in a mess tonight. because of the rejection of the light of God. Listen tonight, when the Lord is working with you, when he's calling you and talking to you, he is doing everything he can do to keep from that happening right there, to keep you from making the costly mistakes financially, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. He is doing what he can do to stop you from destroying yourself. All right, what about the physical side of it tonight? How many people you know smoke cigarettes? How long have they smoked? What has it done to them? A man told me one time, he said, "Brother Carl," he said, "the Lord helped me and I quit smoking." Quit. That'd been a number of years before this time I'm talking about. But he said, "I quit for a while," and he said, "I went back to it." And he said, "When I did," he said, "I could never turn it down. I could never give it up." He said, "I've tried, I've prayed, I begged, I pleaded. He'd done everything he knew to do, and he died with emphysema. I watched him when I was pastoring him, and he couldn't hardly breathe. And it got worse, and it got worse, and it got worse. And I was there not very long. He died in November. I was in Holly Hill, South Carolina in September. I went by to see him because they said he's in the hospital. Carl, I said, let's go." And he was on a deathbed. And he couldn't hardly breathe. Listen, folks, cigarettes are deadly. Smoking is deadly. It not only costs you actual dollars and dimes, so to speak, it costs you your physical being. Over and over, there have been thousands and thousands of people that have died because of cigarettes. It happens every day. You don't want to go that way. I want you to look at what this stuff does to you tonight. I've never preached a message like this. This is the first time I've ever preached this. It may be the last. But the bottom line is tonight, this stuff is costly physically too. Extremely physically. I've been around people that smoked. I've cleaned homes that smoked. Earl and I had been in houses and we washed walls that when we washed them, they were yellow because of the nicotine that was on the walls. And you'd take and start cleaning. And here you got a good color, the paint color, and over here it was nothing but yellow. It's because they were smoking. And they were smoking too much. Shouldn't have been smoking at all. And it's destroyed and destroyed. Thousands, well, millions. Let's just put it in where it is. Knew another man. I remember right, he had cancer because of smoking. Have you ever seen a man being fed through his nose with a tube? That's the only way he could get nutrition. Listen, folks, tonight, it'll never happen to me. Yes, it can. Listen, folks, the devil's not dumb. He's been playing this deal for many, many years, and he's smarter than a lot of people. And the only way to outdeal him is by the blood of Jesus Christ and the life of Christ in you. That's the only way you can whip this kind of thing. Only way you can get delivered from it. But young people, I beg you, don't get involved with the cost of cigarettes, both financially and physically, mentally, emotionally, and especially spiritually. What about alcoholism? Had a couple in my congregation, Sean, even the name was Swans. He had been a preacher for many, many years. And her and him were there in the congregation. He died. I had the privilege of preaching his funeral. But they loaned me a book, The ABCs of Alcoholism. And I read that. It's been as good and of informative book possibly in some ways that I've ever read. My mistake was I didn't try to buy it off of him. I wish I had that book. I wished many times I had it, and I can't find it anywhere. But the bottom line was these people had a burden, and they were Christians, and they opened a place to help people get off of alcohol, to get delivered from it by Christ and working with them and helping them. You know what the DTs are? Mama told me when I was a boy, and I listened to her, but I wondered. But there is such a thing called the DT. You know what it is, Ivan? No. It's when you get so bad that you start hallucinating, so to speak, and you see things coming at you like large bugs, big gorillas, big lions, tigers, and bears. Things that one man was in a phone booth and he had gone back and got to drinking again and he had an episode of this and he was in this phone booth. Some of you children don't even know what a phone booth is. But the thing's about this wide, about like that. You open the door and you climbed in there, the phone in there, you put money in and you call people. And he was calling and he said, "Hurry, hurry, please." Said, "There's a big bug trying to get at me." The ones that they found laying in their bed with all kind of problems. And I'm not going to get graphic in this, but you can about imagine. I looked at that book and I read that book and it was horrible, horrible what happened. One man went out and got drunk. He had a little child. His wife was sitting on the porch with the neighbor when he come home. She said, "I think I better go over there and see my husband." She went. He grabbed the child and he killed it right there. And then when he come to his senses, he was screaming and hollering because he had murdered his own child. You don't think alcohol will destroy you? It'll do things that nothing else will do without drugs. It'll take you to a place that you wish you had never gone. The depths of it. It takes a man's life and it strangles it and it ties it and it binds it and it chains it to where you can't do what you want to do. You're doing what that bottle wants you to do. You'll prime the bar. You'll find the bottle. You'll go anywhere you can to get a drink to satisfy the alcoholism that's in your system. Oh, tonight, you don't want to go there, folks. You don't want to go there. There had been people murdered over and over because somebody was drunk. There have been children, they've been grown up, they've been wives, they've been husbands, killed because somebody was drunk and they didn't know what they were doing and they pulled the trigger of a gun or they took a knife and they stabbed somebody in the wrong place and it killed them. Listen, that's happened over and over. That's alcoholism, folks, and it's costly. And then they wake up and they see what they've done and the horror's only beginning. Do they quit? If they get to the right place, maybe. If they can find Jesus Christ. But then you got to live with the one you kill for the rest of your life. Be your wife. Be your child. Politicians are trying to say we need to get all the guns and get them away from the people because they're killing people. Listen, folks, guns don't kill people. People kill people. And I made a statement. I think I told Molly. I said, "Molly, I said they can take all of our guns away, but people's going to find a way to kill people. If they want to kill somebody, they'll do something." You know what is happening now? People are stabbing people. And it's happening more and more. It's not only here. It's up in Canada. It's across the ocean. It's here, there, and yonder. People are going to, that have a murderous spirit, that is in the wrong spirit, they're going to kill somebody and they'll do it any way they can. I said they take the knives away, they get a ball bat. Sin is costly, folks. Drugs. What does it do to you? Like I said, I've looked at it on the news, in my phone now, and look at it, and they have an article on there, and see the pictures of the horror, of the mess of the people. And they're shooting it up, and they're taking it through their mouth, and they're doing this, and they're doing that. They can't hardly walk. They ain't got no sense, really. Drugs will destroy you, folks. And fentanyl today that is being brought up through our southern border by the trucks full, so to speak, that stuff is so extremely dangerous that it started out with a few and now then it's killing thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Do you want to do that?
No.
100,000 people a year dying. And this figure's a little whatever because I couldn't get a true whatever because it kept talking about this and talking about that. So I just rounded to 100,000 people a year die from drug addiction. Mark 10 and 17. Let's go there right quick. When he was gone forth in the way, there came one running, kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother." And he answered and said to him, "Master, all these things have I observed from my youth." Now, folks, there is one man right here in the Bible that, according to what's written right here, it was a better youth than probably a bulk of the United States. Our youth in the United States today, I am appalled at what the teenagers are doing, the getting together and going into a 7-Eleven. I'm just going to use that as a name. Going into a 7-Eleven and stealing and tearing and maybe killing somebody in there. This young man had a good life. He was a good young man. He come to Christ and talking, appearing, working. "What must I do that I may inherit?" He was interested. He wanted it. How many of you want it tonight? "I've observed it from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. He said to him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. The one thing that held me back from getting saved as long as it did was I wanted to be rich. I don't know why now I wanted to be rich, but I just wanted to be rich. Wanted to have a business, money, a wife, children, cars, nice home, so forth. I was after all of that. And the night that the Lord saved me, when he climbed in that car and he went home with me from my service station that I worked at, and went home after poor Brother Lloyd Eck worked for 3 hours trying to get me to surrender my life, and I wouldn't do it. And the Lord showed me, he said, "You can be ever so rich, and I can take it away in a moment's time. Be nothing left. You'll be penniless." Well, that kind of got my attention, folks. Then he showed me another thing. If I remember right, Brother Lloyd had a relative that was fairly young like I was, and he had gotten killed suddenly, went out into eternity. Lord said, "You don't have to be old to die, child," something like that. That began to turn my mind to the right way. I could die young and I could die lost. I could be rich and I could die young and be lost. And I had my sights set and had a partner that was working with me, and we were moving in that direction. But Jesus come along and changed it all just after midnight. And I appreciate what he done. This young man, he had great possessions. He was a good young man. But there was something that was holding him, and that was, "Hey, Brother Carl, well, why did Jesus touch that? That's just money." Because that young man's possessions was binding him in such a way that he would love the Lord like he needed to. Jesus will touch the things that your heart is set on, and he will take them and say, "Listen, you've got to give this up." Whether it be riches, I had to give it up, folks. I had to give it up. Today, I live in the nicest home I've ever lived in my life. I have two cars. Well, I have one car, really. Molly has the other one. It's got over 100,000 miles on it. But the bottom line is tonight, the Lord wanted me to have something better than the money, than the big homes and the fine jobs and the businesses and all that I wanted to own and wanted to do, maybe aircraft and so forth. He had better things for me than that. And I sure didn't want to preach the gospel. But the bottom line, he had something better. Tonight he's got something better for you.
Young people, he's got some good things for you. Some things that will be a blessing down the line. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years. You'll die in peace and you'll have glory in your soul. I was in West Virginia when I was so sick in 1987. And one night the Lord come by and he got real close to me. Just like he walked in that room, the room that Brother Salmon's built on his house, the den, I was in that room right there. And the Lord walked in and he stood right beside me. And he was so close, I was shouting and I was crying all at the same time. I felt like I was going to literally explode. And I was making such a commotion that the wife come in there and said, "Are you all right? What's wrong with you?" I said, "Jesus just got real close. And I believe what he was doing was blessing me for trusting him. Giving my life to him, turning it all over and saying, 'Here, Jesus, it's yours.'" You can have that. It's not subject just to me only. You can have it too. God will give you those kind of blessings. And I'm going to tell you, it'll beat anything much better than the cigarettes, the alcoholism, the drugs, the gambling, partying, clubbing, movies, concerts. And it'll give you a perfect marriage, or a good marriage. Man, I wouldn't better not get it too high. But give you a real good marriage. And you can have some children. And you can live with peace and joy in your soul. And shout hallelujah. Oh, tonight, this young man walked away. He chose something that cost him dearly down the line. Oh, he might have, I don't know what he was worth. I have no idea. But he could have lost everything in the next 10 days. He could have ended up with nothing. Oh, tonight, you need to look to the Lord and you need to consider there's something better than my way. We need to give our way to the Lord and take his way. We ought to let the Lord run and rule. Oh, tonight, I am so thankful I have done that. It has worked well for over 50 years now. And I appreciate it. Let's go to Luke 23. 23rd chapter of Luke. And about the 39th verse here. 23 and 39 of Luke. "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, 'If thou be Christ, save thyself and us.' But the other answering rebuked him, saying, 'Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds, but this man had done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, I say unto thee, Woo! Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." We got an attitude problem here. One's attitude was wonderful, and the other's wasn't. Do you have an attitude problem tonight that's hindering you from serving God? Have you got an attitude problem that's pulling you back from getting saved, getting sanctified, receiving what God has for you, maybe in a calling, and you've got an attitude, "Lord, I don't want to do that." The man lost his soul because he railed out on the Lord with a wrong attitude. He wouldn't humble. He wouldn't look at it. Listen, folks, we need to look at the long term of this thing, not a short term, but a long term. And that long term is eternity. That long term is Jesus sitting on the right hand of God on the throne of grace, where you and I can hear the glorious singing and live in a mansion. I'm going to have my mansion one day. It wasn't what I had down here, but I'm going to have one better up there. Oh, she said, "It's beautiful, Brother Carl. It's the most beautiful house I've ever looked at." Tonight, that thief lost his soul. He lost it. It cost him dearly because of a wrong attitude. There's a lot of people got bad attitudes tonight that's hurting them. It's time to do a little attitude checkup, a little attitude change. Because the Lord tonight, he wants to take and give you something better. All right, let's finish it up. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. We'll be through here in just a minute. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We're bought with a price, folks. Jesus paid the price. It cost him dearly to bring your salvation about. When he appeared to me in that vision in Oregon that night or that day, he looked at me and he pointed at me and said, I died for you, child. I died for you. The tears started streaming. Why? Because I could see that if there was nobody alive but me, he died for me. One person. One person. And that includes everyone in here. He died for you. He paid the price. He didn't skim. He didn't pull back. When he went to the garden, he done everything there. He looked in the cup, but he said, not my will, but thine be done, Father. I'm going to complete this thing all the way. And he did it. He paid the full price. And tonight it cost him dearly. It cost him everything in a sense. He had to give his life. He had to shed his blood. He had to take the stripes. He had to be on the cross. He had to go every step that needed to be, and he knew what it was going to be, and he knew the pain, but he crucified self, and he done it for you and me. He paid the price tonight. All right, 55 of Isaiah, and we'll be through in just a minute. Ho! Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that had no money, come ye buy and eat. Ye come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight. Delight. How many of you like to eat things that delight you? I've had two wives, and those two wives had made me each one the most perfect cake I've ever eaten in my life. And my nephew that was back there, he said, Uncle Carl, could I have a piece of that cake? I don't think I give him any. I don't mean to be greedy, but that cake was so good. And then here come along Molly Ann, and she done the very same thing. I said, baby, you've done exactly what happened before. You've made me the perfect chocolate cake. Delight. I delighted in every bite. And tonight, the Lord's got something for you to delight in. It's called salvation, if you will. Come get it. It's laid out there. Walk away from the bad stuff. He said, why do you spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfieth not. Listen, folks, tonight, people are wasting money. They're doing things that is of no satisfaction when it gets down to the bottom line. I am a very frugal man. And to see somebody burn things up in a cigarette or drugs or drinking it down and wasting it that away is about more than I can bear. Just one cigarette after another. Burning it up. Listen, folks, tonight, the Lord's got something better than that. Hearken diligently unto me. Look at it. Is your life really satisfying you tonight? Are you really happy, redeemed, and free? Are you happy at all in any way? The Lord wants you to be happy. He wants you to have something that you've not got. He wants to give you some glory and some blessing. He wants to make you shout, praise God. Incline your ear and come unto me here, and your soul shall live. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. He's got the best of everything. And I've given my life preaching the gospel, helping people to see this is the right way to go. There was a sister. She'd been dead several years now, but she'd come into the Guthrie congregation a number of years ago. She had gotten saved, and she was going to this church and to that place and to this church and to that church.
And she heard about this one in the old chapel, not here. And she walked in. And she looked it over. And the Lord said, "This is the way. Walk you in it." Listen, folks, there's a way. It's a glorious way. It's an upper way. It's a way that Christ wants to take you to give you blessings upon blessings upon blessings. Beyond what I can tell you tonight, how glorious it is. And I've been there. I've done it. I would stand every atheist in the United States in the face and tell them there's a God. I've been touched so many times in a pulpit, I didn't even want to be in the pulpit to preach, much less preach. And I told the congregation, Shawnee, I said, "You pray, I preach." And they'd start praying. And the Lord would literally reach down and touch me right here. The power of God would go through my body and I'd take off of preaching. You may think that's odd. Maybe so, but it worked over and over. Listen, He has touched me. He's blessed me. He's done things. And it's been Jesus Christ the righteous. It ain't been anything I've done. He wants to do it for you too. He's eager to satisfy. He's eager to bless. Won't you come? Let's stand and have a number. Oh, it's time to get saved. It's time to be satisfied tonight. I appreciate your time, your attention, and your prayers. Pray for me.